certainly appreciate this opportunity to be with you here this morning at the Macedonia Friendly Baptist Church, and I pray the Lord will be with us as we endeavor to bring some scriptures to you from God's Word. Certainly glad to see the grandparents of the Martins back with us again. I was surprised to see Harry because he was with Will in Arkansas last weekend. So you're a traveling man, Harry. You are getting around. But we're glad to see them. Glad to see each and every one of you, and appreciate each one of you for your presence to be here with us. Glad to see our visitors and those who visit us from time to time, but not always here. But I've turned to a portion of scripture here where I want to take a text. And this is found in the book of Genesis. It's about a man we're all familiar with. You know, we always hear the expression when someone expresses who our God is. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is a story about Jacob. And Jacob, you know, the scripture tells us over in the book of Romans that God loved Jacob, but he hated his brother Esau. And you know, when we study the life of Jacob and Esau, from a human standpoint, it would be my inclination to hate Jacob because of his conniving. Him and his mom tricked Isaac, their father, stole the birthright of his brother Esau, was so evil in the way they went about it. But yet, Jacob, because of all that, he had to flee Israel and get out of there. And God had told him to go back to the land where he came from. But he was afraid to go there because of his brother Esau, who was a mighty man, a mighty warrior with mighty army. And so Jacob had been commanded of the Lord to go back to his homeland. But he had a prayer to God to protect him from his brother Esau here in this particular portion of the book of Genesis. It's where I want to take my thought that God has placed on my heart and my mind that I want to bring to us this morning. It's found in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. And it says in verse 9, "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." Now, whenever Jacob got this command from the Lord to return to Israel, he became afraid. Afraid of God? No, he wasn't afraid of God. But he felt guilty because of what he'd done to his brother. And he had to face his brother if he went back to Israel. And so, in verse 10, which is where I want to take my thought this morning, this is what Jacob expressed to God in prayer. He says, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." I want to deal with that thought. I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And you know, I've talked to people, and I suppose some of you, when you'd witness to someone, and someone may ask you, "Why are you a primitive Baptist and not a missionary Baptist?" And you tell them what the difference is in primitive Baptists and missionary Baptists. And I can remember a time when I used to say, "Well, we primitive Baptists believe salvation is by grace. But you tell them that and they'll say, well, that's, we believe that too. But when you examine it and see for it, for how they believe salvation comes, they don't believe it's by grace, but they believe it's by work. So I've learned to express it this way. Salvation comes to the sinner not by what he does, but by what God does for him. In other words, there must be life before action. There must be eternal life bestowed by God unto an individual before he has any action, religious righteousness, or anything toward God. A man must have the Spirit of God within him, life. He must have that eternal life that's bestowed by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. And when you express that to people, I've had a lot of people say, well, you know, if you didn't have to do anything to get it, and God just gives it to you because he chose you before the foundation of the world. I've had people say this to me, God would not be just if it was that way. I wouldn't claim God to not be just, because God not only is just, but important for us, just like it would be for Jacob, he is merciful. And even though Jacob said here, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies, O Lord. And we could all say that. If I got justice when I faced God at the general judgment, I know where I'd go. But I'm not looking for justice from God. No, I want his mercy. You know, God is a God of mercy. And here, Jacob said, Lord, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. Well, the fact that he expressed that to God, expressed that Jacob, from his heart, believed that God was merciful. And he knew he could count on God to be merciful unto him in spite of all that he'd done that was wrong. And so he cried out unto God, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth that thou hast showed unto thy servant. Now we want to take a look at some scriptures that tells us about this God of mercy. This is a God that I'm interested in, a God of mercy, because if God were to deal with me on the basis of who I am and how I've done in my life, I'm afraid that it wouldn't be very good if he wasn't merciful. But he is merciful. We'll find here in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 31 says this, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Now aren't you glad that the scriptures tell us the Lord is merciful? The Lord thy God is a merciful God. Is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget thy the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. God is a covenant-keeping God. When God makes a covenant, it's for sure. We may break God's covenant, but God will not break his covenant that he had with his people. What's God's covenant with his people? God chose and elected a people before the foundation of the world. A multitude of people, an innumerable host of people, too many for me and you to count. Don't even try. Some try, but they fail. You can't count them, but the thing that's great about it is God knows each and every one of them. He knows them all by name. And he sent his son here to this earth to redeem them and to finish the work of redemption on behalf of each and every one of them. And when they face God at the general judgment, they'll not receive justice from God for their actions. They'll receive mercy from God for what they received through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great God. He is indeed a merciful God. Now we want to take a look at several scriptures this morning that speak of that merciful God before we give way and turn the service over to Elder Will Martin. We'll now turn over to the book of Psalms, and we'll find it says in Psalms 86, it says here that in verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Now that's interesting. Who is it that calls upon God? It's not the alien sinner dead in trespasses and in sin, because the scriptures tell me the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The scripture tells me the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. So those that seek the Lord are those that God has reached down in grace and saved. That's why he could say, as he said over in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that faith, that is not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God." Faith is a gift to us from God. It comes to us when he gives us eternal life, and then a person has a heartfelt faith desire for God. It's only because he has the Spirit of God within him that he has that. So we see here that he is indeed a merciful God. And it says in verse 5, "Thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee," to all that God has given the nature to call upon him. He is indeed merciful. Now, the mercy of the Lord we'll find over in Psalms, over a little further in the book of Psalms, in verse Psalms 103, his mercy is eternal. In other words, God has plenty of mercy. He's not short of mercy. And his mercy is eternal. That means there's not a time that God just runs out of mercy. You know, I've got gas in my car to go home, but if I'm short of gas and I don't stop up here at Fairmont and put some gas in my car, I might not make it home. I might run out of gas, but God does not run out of mercy. We'll find here in Psalm 103, verse 17, it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children." Yes, the mercy of the Lord is indeed eternal, and we can count on the Lord to be that merciful unto us. He is merciful, and I'm glad that the Lord is indeed merciful unto his children. We'll also find in the book of Psalms where a scripture says here in Psalms 106 verse 1 says, "The mercy of the Lord endureth forever." Well, how long is forever? Well, you can't express forever in length of years or length of time. Forever is forever. Forever has no ending. Forever is one of the attributes of God. He has forever been and he will forever be. He is eternal. So that's what forever means, eternal. It has no ending. So we see in Psalms 106, it says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm glad we have a merciful God. I'm glad he's not short of mercy. I'm glad when I mess up next week and do have thoughts or do things, maybe have a say something to my wife in a way that I shouldn't say it, because I'm upset about something else and I didn't really mean it toward her, but I express it to her. She knows what I'm talking about. When I do things like that, I'm glad God is merciful and forgives me of those times when I fall short of that I should be. Yes, God's mercy endureth forever. Now we want to turn over to the book of Psalms. We'll find here in the book of Psalms 108, it says, the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is boundless. It says in verse 4 here of Psalms 108, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and the glory above all the earth. Yes, the mercy of the Lord is indeed boundless, and he indeed is our great God and merciful unto us. In God's mercy, he forgives us of sin. We'll find over in the book of Micah, right at the end of that chapter. It says in verse 18, they have the book of Micah, for who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Think of a God like our God. He is a God who hates sin. He is a God who cannot tolerate sin. He is a God in which there is no sin. Yet in spite of that, he forgives us of our sin. He knows that we're sinners by nature, and he's a merciful, ever-forgiving God. It says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Yes, God delights to be merciful. He delights to be one that forgives us of our sin. But he doesn't do it lightly. It cost him the blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And when he looks at us, he looks at us through that imputed righteousness that we have from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now this merciful God is indeed a great and merciful Savior. The mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord comes to them that fear him. We'll find in the book of Luke, now over into the New Testament, it says there, beginning at verse 50, it says, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Yes, the Lord does have mercy on all of his children that have a fear of him. And the reason they have a fear of him is because indeed they are his children, and indeed he has chosen them, and indeed he has given unto them eternal life. Now the Lord, I have expressed already, is rich in mercy. He is a Lord that has all the mercy that he needs for his children. We'll find in the book of Ephesians, it says here in verse 4 of chapter 2, it said, but God, who is rich in mercy, yes, God is rich rich in his mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made alive us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now you know that's wonderful scripture right there concerning the mercy of God. The mercy of God is great unto his children. Even when we were dead in sins, even when there was nothing about us to cause God to love us, but yet he was merciful unto us. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Now that expresses grace right there. And you know a little further down the scripture that I quoted to you earlier. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not only that, you'll find over in the book of Galatians chapter 1. It says that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, you can't have faith toward God without first having the Spirit of God, which is an evidence that you've been quickened by God, that because you have faith toward God. That's the evidence, because you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit of God. By faith are you saved, by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Now one last scripture in closing out this morning on the subject of the mercy of God. We'll find that it's by the mercy of God that the possibility of us as sinners in by nature could be saved by a merciful God. It tells us here in the book of Titus, we'll begin there at verse 3 of chapter 3 of the book of Titus. It says, "For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Now that describes the nature of the person of sin. That describes the nature of the person that has not the Spirit of God. And these can even come out of the nature of one that has the Spirit of God. But we see here, even though this is a description of the human nature that we all are, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness. In other words, it's not because of anything you do. And I can remember when I was struggling with this, the last thing I wanted to release, the last thing I wanted to turn loose of, was I had to, at least, if nothing else, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's not possible. A person that's dead in trespasses and in sin cannot believe in Christ. He must first have the Spirit, and then when he has the Spirit, then he can believe. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How is it that we can be saved before a just and holy God of heaven and earth? It's because he is a God of mercy. Yes, it's by his mercy he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration. Now that's what regeneration means. That's when God reaches down to a person dead in trespasses trespass and sin, and gives him eternal life by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Spirit, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And back over here to our text where Jacob felt so bad for how evil he had been, and he prayed to God, and he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies." We're not worthy, but yet God is merciful. I've quoted enough scripture, shown you enough scripture here for you to believe that God is indeed a merciful God. He is indeed one that we can count on whenever we feel so vile, so full of sin, we fear we've not been born again. But yet God is merciful. It's by his mercies that he's given us eternal life and given us this heart to seek after and to go after and to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord that he is a merciful God. And those that say, if it was that way, God would not be just, I'm not going to accuse God of not being just, because he is not only merciful, he is a just God. And he indeed will provide mercy to the sinner that needs it along life's way. And we all experience it as we travel. Yes, indeed, God is merciful, and I'm so thankful for it. Now, if I'll ask you if you will pray for Elder Will Martin as he comes now to preach for you. God bless you.